Welcome to Phenomenal Woman. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland. Join me as we share the success strategies of phenomenal women achieving extraordinary success around the globe. From the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, this is Real Talk by Real Women. We share with you the highs and lows of their journey and give you honest insight on how you can navigate same with confidence, integrity, and gain a little inspiration. As a leadership strategist, executive coach, and business consultant, I have the pleasure of working with organizations and individuals, helping them to turn their goals into success. This week, I'm in conversation with Ms. Ugo Arenze. Ugo is Managing Director at Onyx Property Consultants based in the UK in London. She's a graduate of Rutgers University School of Business and has an MBA from New York University Stern School of Business. Ugo has a solid foundation in finance, having spent 10 years with Bank of America Merrill Lynch as a senior vice president, where she restructured real estate transactions on behalf of large corporate owners of real estate and advising on commercial property finance. Nigeria born, raised in America and now living in London, Ugo has a unique global perspective on business and culture. After leaving banking, she moved to London as a CFO with international architectural at firm Ajay Associates prior to founding Onyx Property Consultants in 2012. Along the way, she's personally invested in property and redevelopment projects. Given her interest in people and property and her wealth of knowledge in banking, from real estate transactions and property investment, Onyx has been the perfect way for Ugo to combine her passion and skills. The firm works with local and international clients to achieve their property-related goals, whether it be to sell their home, find the right investment property or second home, or manage their rental assets. Outside of work, Ugo is determined to do what she can to be part of bringing lasting social change through organizations she cares about. She's a trustee at SAFE, a Kenya-based nonprofit that uses theatre, film, and community programs to inspire, educate, and implement social change. She's a former trustee at M Street Village, a nonprofit organization helping empower homeless and low-income women in Washington, D.C. She's in partnership with the Girls Network, hosting monthly dinners to raise proceeds and awareness for this wonderful organisation that empowers young girls from disadvantaged backgrounds. An avid tennis player and a fan, fervent African cultural specialist and intrepid traveller, Ugo leads a diverse and rich life in London. So Ugo, welcome to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman, and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be on your show.
We're excited to have you. So I wonder if you can tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself, your beginnings, and where you come from, please.
Okay. Well, I currently live in London, but I was born in Nigeria, grew up in the States, and now I've been living in London for the last 7 years. So I've been had a bit of a journey across some continents.
Excellent. That explains the accent, because we said at the top of the before we came on, I'm like, I wasn't expecting American accent, but it's great. Likewise, you weren't expecting English.
That's right.
So tell us a bit more about your career, Ugo.
Well, I started my career as an investment banker. So I have an MBA in finance, and I got the opportunity to work for Bank of America Merrill Lynch for many years, originally in Charlotte, North Carolina. Right out of business school, I ended up in a group, real estate syndications. And so my entire banking career was associated with real estate and property and structuring finance and loans on behalf of large corporate owners of real estate. I found that was something that I enjoyed. You know, it felt like it was a really good niche to learn and to be involved with. And so personally, along the way, I started buying property for myself. I had moved to Washington, D.C. by that time, still with the bank. And started buying property, doing some flips, doing some renovations, found that I really enjoyed that. And even started taking some interior design classes and felt that I was really excited about that work. And off the back of that, you know, doing some projects, people started coming to me and asking me if I could help their brother do something or help someone else. And so I was surprised that people were offering to pay me for something that I was, you know, really enjoying. And so, yeah, after a couple of years, I felt that I'd been with the bank for over 10 years at that point. And
okay.
Felt that I was ready to perhaps do something different. And I really thought that I'd leave the bank and do more of my own development projects and flips and that type of thing. But as it turned out, I got the opportunity, a friend of mine went to work for the architect David Adjaye, who recently designed the Smithsonian Museum of African American History in the National Mall in DC. He would come down to DC and talk about this project. And I had the opportunity to speak to him. And as we just eventually, I thought I'd perhaps go in-house as an interior designer. He was more interested in my finance background. And so I got the opportunity to go to work for him as CFO in his London office. So I that's what got me to London. Saw what was happening in the London property market. So something I obviously had years of experience and had a pulse on. It was very dynamic. It's very high valued. So the property values in London are very high.
Yeah.
And really just saw that there was a fundamental gap in the market, as I describe it, in terms of having the American model of realty and having a realtor that works with both the buyer has an agent that represents them and a seller has an agent that represents them. And so coming to London, it really blew my mind that people were buying the most expensive asset of their life and nobody was really guiding them and helping them and bringing that value that I had experienced having bought, you know, several properties back in the States. So I felt that I had this opportunity to offer this service, to work with buyers, particularly, especially since there were so many international clients buying in the London property market. So really you could offer them this bespoke, direct, high-level customer service and bringing my financial and analytical background into it. And yeah, just really from start to finish. So helping clients find the property. If it needed any level of refurbishment, we could do that. Yeah. And doing it with a very keen eye, given my interior design passion and background. And then we could look after it. We could rent it out. If it was a second home and the clients were coming to use it occasionally, we could look after that. After a couple of years with Adjaye, I launched my practice, my business, Onyx Property Consultants in 2012. And in June of 2015, I decided to become an agent with Keller Williams. And Keller Williams, as many might know, is a US-based estate agency. I think it's now the largest one in the world. They were now in the UK. And what I really liked about that was now I would, I say you don't know what you don't know. And I kind of finding and struggling as an entrepreneur, but an entrepreneur that came from a corporate background. And so I wasn't really having the success at the level I wanted. And so when I got connected with Keller Williams, what I heard was, you know, we'll help you grow your business, but it'll still be your business. And I felt that really resonated with me. And I felt quite strongly that I didn't want to go back into working for someone else, but I had to find a way to do what I was doing at a level of success that I wanted and aspired to.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point, because too many of us don't reach out for help or the support we need when we're in business. And I think that's a key skill to actually identify, well, look, you know, we can't do everything. But go to the experts or get the support that will help us get to the level we need to get to. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, and it has made a difference, because I think You know, again, as an entrepreneur, you've got all this excitement and passion. You just think, oh, yeah. I've got the best idea in the world, and everybody's just going to come to me, and why wouldn't they? I'm wonderful and everything. And yet, yeah, that's not the case. And people, you know, one of the things that was very sobering was every business has to find a way to find its customer, and yes. multinationals and corporates can pay for that paid advertising, or they can pay for the staff to do that. But as an entrepreneur, as a startup, you have to do that yourself. And, you know, I just wanted to sell pretty houses and do the fun stuff. And, yeah, they kind of disabuse you of that pretty quickly and saying half your job is going to be lead generating, as we call it, and marketing yourself and being out there and really, putting yourself out there in a way that is not always comfortable, but that is the essence of being an entrepreneur, I think.
I just did a piece about getting comfortable being uncomfortable. And it's got, so in your line of work, you said you talked about doing things that you aren't always comfortable with. What would be an example of that, Ugo?
Yeah, I'd say it's the fundamental element is what we call lead generating, which is calling people, right? And being in touch with your database, your sphere of influence. And so that is, you know, something where they teach us to really allocate time a day, whether it's 2 to 3 hours a day, making those calls. And believe me, that's not, you know, that's not comfortable. Not what I want to be doing, asking people for business or asking them to refer me to other people. But you have touched on the concept of confidence. And I think, again, one of the things they helped me with was, what was my USP? Because I wasn't a realtor. And so again, the model in London is more of high street agents. And so people know brands and companies, but they don't know individuals. And again, what Keller Williams helped me with was, my background was incredibly unique and incredibly applicable to a level of service that people were often not getting. And so, you know, kind of my USP became, you know, born in Nigeria, raised in America, living in London. So you've got this global perspective.
Yes.
And plus having been an investment banker and a banker in real estate. So that's what I try to bring, that corporate level of analysis, but that personal bespoke passion. And I love living in London and love walking the streets of London and kind of had this girl about town. So with that, helping me have that USP that I could now go out and speak to people with, that gave me confidence. Social media, I was never really active on Facebook and Instagram and things like that. But again, one of the key or core tenets is people do business with people they like. They need to see your personality.
Yeah.
And again, I've been an investment banker, I've worked hard, but I'm working harder than I ever have because there are so many elements of breaking outside of what we call limiting beliefs and how you feel about yourself and how you put yourself out there.
Yeah.
So social media, so that became something where I said, okay, right. And first of all, I will say, I embraced joining Keller Williams with, I'm going to do everything somebody tells me to do until I feel like it's not right for me, because I've done it my own way and I hadn't had that success. So if I was going to do this, I wanted to try everything.
Yeah.
And with the feedback about social media, I said, well, you know, I do all these cool things anyway. And I quite fell into the African art scene. That was one of the first things I really enjoyed about moving to London.
Yeah.
Felt that there were these conversations in the Africa art space that I'd never really seen in America, and there were these artists and countries, and you're just interacting with people in a direct way that are from everywhere, and that was really exciting to me. And so, yeah, I got the opportunity to get invited to things. When I moved to London, my motto was, I say no to nothing. So if somebody invites me, I'm going to go. I didn't know anybody. And so from all that, I had these experiences that I said, well, you know, people post about their kids all the time and the obligatory first day of school picture. So, you know, why not post about a museum experience or attending some music event or venue or things like that, that I felt was really quite uplifting. And oh, by the way, it's in London. And I started really engaging people, and people really started responding to me on that. So I would say, you know, those are the key ways. You know, part of it, again, is reading a lot of books. I feel like you start pulling a thread on who are you? You know, are you someone of integrity? Are you somebody that somebody wants to do business with? If not, you know, how do you correct that? Is, you know, does your word mean something? You know, if you're going to do business, you know, if somebody's going to risk working with you, you know, why should they do that? And are you, the things you promote, is that really how you deliver? And so, yeah, that's been part of the journey of learning and self-enlightenment or improvement or whatever you want to call it that I feel like I'm on now as well.
That's excellent. And the one of the key points I took out there was the phrase you used about just basically going for everything. So I'm currently reading Shonda Rhimes' book, The Year of Saying Yes, where, you know, she'd gone through her life pretty much trying to stay in her comfort zone, but she set herself her challenge just for a year of saying yes to everything or things that make her feel uncomfortable in the past. And it looks like that's been your life. You know, that's how you've been successful in your business, is just saying, okay, yes, it makes me feel uncomfortable, but what are the benefits of me doing this at this point in time?
Absolutely. And I realized when I was having to make the decision to move to London, I was scared to death. And I just, you know, having been a banker, you realize, you know, banking, you're taught all about risk and all the worst case scenarios and all the things that could go wrong. And just come to realize you're like on the spectrum. I was relatively risk averse. And yet I said to myself, and talked to a lot of people and had a lot of, you know, thoughts and feedback, was like, you'll be really proud of yourself if you do this. At that point, it was a 2-year visa. You know, if I didn't like it, my dad was like, you know, you have your family, you know, you can always come home. I still had my car. I left, you know, my home, I rented out. So I felt that I could pick up my life. I left it. But if I didn't want to look back and say, wow, how many people get the opportunity to move to London, for God's sake, and say no, and then regret it their whole life? And I haven't regretted it. It's been a challenge. It's definitely been a different world being an entrepreneur versus being, you know, a well-paid banker. But for the experiences I've had and the things I've gotten to do, it's been incredible.
Excellent. And you touched on there about, you know, facing all your challenges. So what's been a challenge, one that you've confronted when it's been bad, it's gone horribly wrong? And how do you cope in the situation and just regain your confidence when things have got tough?
Yeah, you're going to face so much, because I think, again, being an entrepreneur, you have to have a tough skin, but that's not easy, right? Because it's your brand, you're putting yourself out there. Whereas if you work for a company, it's almost like if the company doesn't do well, you don't take it personally, right? Yeah. Whereas if something goes wrong or a client's not happy, you take it very personally. So I distinctly remember a situation where I had just literally signed up a client that I've been working on for months to get their listing. And it was him, but he was representing the seller and a couple other people. And so it was this great opportunity, got the listing agreement. I think it was like a Thursday, and that Friday I went to Greece for the weekend. And I posted on social media that I was in Greece. And literally his partner comes back. He's like, well, how can you be selling our home if you're in Greece? And I was like, well, I've left the keys with my colleague. And there were some damp issues. There were some other things I had advised them that I thought we should sort out first before we put this property on the market. Damp issue, moisture. So we don't want people coming in and seeing it and not having a quote for them and having dealt with it. So I felt that we had that all moving forward. But, you know, literally from her seeing me in Greece, and I came back that Tuesday, so it wasn't like I was gone for a week or so. They disinstructed me, and I was shocked. I had my team leader, my colleague, call them on my behalf, telling them, you know, I was one of the best agents, that he was there, he had the keys, there was no issue. And, you know, they just weren't having it.
Right.
And I spoke, and I remember, you know, the last day in Greece, just spending, you know, miserable and just trying everything I could to fix it. Came back, and I also work with a business coach, and I remember him saying to me, like, you know, I hear you, but this is why, you know, we want you to have 20 deals, not 5, right? Because if one goes wrong, it doesn't kill or break you. And it kind of in ways almost like shook you, like you need to understand the bigger picture. And so while it was unfortunate that I had lost this client, and he then also said, well, what could you have done better?
Yes.
You know, could you have managed expectations better? Could you have let them know ahead of time, well, this is what's happening. This is all the things I have in place. You know, if you need anything, blah, blah, blah. And because I was in the mode of like, I've been screwed. I can't believe they've done this to me. This is horrible. Can you believe it? And he was just like, yeah, okay. Let's shift this a bit, and got me to actually write them an email apologizing for any misunderstanding. Here's what we had in place. Here's what was happening in my absence. And however, you know, I understand if they decided to go a different way, I accept that. But if, you know, they don't have the results that they want, I stand ready to do that. And I mean, that was huge for me. That is so not my personality. That is so not, you know, I'm a fighter and you want to be right. And in that moment and through that kind of coaching, I really got, I think, the best advice I really could have gotten. And that was this is about growing your business, obviously servicing people as you can, but you know, your goal should be to get to a point where the reality is deals are going to fall through, right? You're not going to complete every single deal, but if you're doing enough deals, then it should be okay. And by the way, next time, you know, maybe you want to post after you come back from a trip. So some lessons were learned from that, which I have applied. And that was a huge learning experience.
Excellent. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, we may see these setbacks as failures or reflections. First of all, we have to leave the ego at the door. And secondly, look at it. What do we learn? What can we learn from that situation? As you said, you've applied it, you've moved on. You've left them with a very good taste, whether they use you or not. So as you said,
and funny enough, it did come back full circle. They never really ended up selling that property, but I felt that I'd repaired those relationships.
Brilliant. So Ugo, you've had a very varied and altogether very successful career, but what has been your biggest career triumph so far? And I say so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's selling a really high value transaction, came in. I had a seller, I think priced maybe $3.2 million or something, and we got the deal done for them in a really short time frame. And it was something where they had bought a property off plan, and it was a new development in central London, and a couple of years ago. And during that time, the property market has shifted dramatically, so we're not in a position to complete on it. And we were able to bring them and complete a deal, I think, inside of 30 days, a cash deal. Right. And my Keller Williams colleague brought the buyer. And so that's something I'm very proud of. But I'm more proud of, I think, recognizing that at the core of what I do, it's I solve people's problems. Right. And I recognize that it's an honor to do that. Then, because I remember a very contentious conversation with the seller, you know, and they were like, well, we want to break even and we want to, you know, you just need to get it. And I was just like, that's not the reality of the market. I'm trying to get you the best situation that the market will bear, because you're going to have legal liabilities if we don't sell this property. And really being very strong and clear to them as to the other implications if we didn't sell for what the market could bear, regardless of what they paid. So they lost money at the end of the day, but we got them out of a worst case scenario. And I think that, you know, being an estate agent or a property consultant, which is more of what I perceive myself as, my goal is people are entrusting me with the largest transactions of their lives. And my goal is to solve their problems and be part of that journey with them.
And you talked about being strong with a client. How do your clients, I mean, I assume you deal with a lot of men, a lot of male dominated transactions, but how do your clients perceive you as being a strong woman?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously being American too, sometimes that's a good and bad thing in London because of cultural dynamics and stuff, you know. The brash Americans coming in and trying to run the world. So there's definitely that element. But I think if you come from a real data-driven perspective, and for me, you know, one of the things as part of our business, we learn scripts and we learn how to address objections and things like that. But it's like, the market might not be kind, but it's never wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And so if I can demonstrate to you the reality of the market. So when I do valuations, it's based on real data, right? It's really the market, showing them what they're comparing against. Because a lot of people say, oh, well, I want to get, you know, $800,000 from my property. But you're like, but your comps are at $700,000. So what makes you think you're going to get $800,000? Because that's not how buyers do it. And with the internet and easy access, they can easily compare. And so if you can demonstrate to them, I've had people literally have aha moments like, wow, nobody's ever shown us this. We've had other agents come in and all of them will say, well, we've been in the market, we know. And they often will actually overprice to get the listing.
Right.
Where, you know, my goal is to get, your goal is to sell your home. And that's what we need to do. And if me telling you $700,000 is the realistic price and they're telling you $800,000, yeah, sometimes I will lose, you know, those deals. But those deals are not going to sell because that's just the reality. So I think if you come from doing your homework, being well prepared, and demonstrating that you know what you're doing, you're not going to win anyone. But for those who appreciate that and who then see that, then you are going to get those opportunities because you're coming from a place that makes sense.
Excellent. And Uga, just changing track a little bit, if you could go back and change one thing in your career so far, what would it be and why?
I probably would have pursued maybe interior design and architecture versus the finance, because I do feel like that's my core passion and I would still like to do more of those projects. I just think that's where I thrive. I love the estate agency side of things, and there is certainly a part of me that's very analytical and mathematical. But I hope that, you know, with what I offer, I will continue to get those interior design opportunities. Again, not as many as I like right now, but that is still the goal.
I'm sure you will. And as you said there, the finance gave you your USP. So if you didn't have that, you wouldn't. Maybe things would be differently.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. And, you know, a lot of times people are, you know, wanting to do other things. And I think have a passion for something else and have a plan forward to go live that and try that other thing. But then also recognize, you know, banking gave me an incredible foundation that, you know, I find that so many people, regardless of their industries or experiences, lack. And so I recognize that. And for many of years at the bank, it was great. But for the last couple of years, it wasn't. And yet I had to remind myself what I was trying to do, right? And what the purpose was and the money I was making, what I was saving and putting aside for. So it absolutely gave me a foundation that's been very, very valuable.
Excellent. So Ugo, share with us a success quote or a mantra that you use and why it's meaningful for you.
I do daily look at my affirmations, and I have so many.
What's the one for today?
Let's see. The one for today is obvious. Sorry, I'm going to pull it up here. The one for today. Today's quote: always remember that who you're becoming is far more important than what you're doing. And yet it's what you're doing that is determining who you're becoming.
Wow. That's nice. And that just flicks back to what we've just been talking about.
Yeah. But, you know, I found that, you know, on this journey, there's so many of these universal truths that, you look at, you know, successful people, mega successful people who kind of say the same thing. You've touched on failure and everything else. Yeah. And I think that in a traditional corporate setting or the way we're kind of raised, we don't talk about failure. We don't talk about picking yourself up and dusting yourself off. It, you know, it's almost kind of this straight line, this trajectory upward. And when you do fail or when you don't have the success you want, then we don't recognize that that's part of the journey. And perseverance is, I think, the number one character trait that you find in truly successful people. And I tried to, once I realized that, I said, okay, well then that's my job is to persevere.
And,
I don't know.
I mean, I think the thing for me, for people, listeners to recognise is that there isn't a straight line. You know, it just that's the rarity, rather that's the exception rather than the rule. I know for me, I've certainly zigzagged through my career, you know, and maybe dodged a couple of bullets as well at the same time. You know, but you get to your level of success by, as you say, persevering and knowing what you want in the end will actually happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, I believe that.
So it has, you talked about earlier about you reading. Has there been a book that's influenced you through your career journey, Ugo?
There's been so many books that have influenced me. I think most recently it's Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
One of the lines in that book is like, you know, you need to take 100% responsibility of everything that's happened to you.
Yeah. Like
everything. Yeah. You're like, everything? But that was huge for me because I think it really says the things you wallow on, the relationships that haven't turned out the way you wanted, the things, oh, you know, somebody did this to you and that to you. And oh, like,
yeah.
It was literally like everything. Yeah. And but in that, it's empowering. So therefore, you can say that everything going forward is possible and you can build it and create it. So that book on so many nuggets has been very, very powerful. But, you know, yeah, the fact that people do things through their fear, not you know, despite it, you know, is quite huge. Spending time with yourself, thinking through things, but also, yeah, there's just so many elements to that book that is incredibly powerful.
Excellent, excellent. And what advice would you give your teenage self now, Ugo?
Yeah, I think don't sweat the small stuff. I think that would be huge. I think, you know, meditating and finding that core, you know, my belief in God is very strong and having that morning time. And so I think, look, you're going to make mistakes regardless. And I think it's just recognizing that life is a journey. It's going to vary and sway. Have a goal, but if it turns out to be not the right goal or if the goal changes, which it will, that's okay. Get your, you know, find the people, their skills or training you need and keep it moving.
Excellent. Excellent. And you're in a relatively, I suppose, challenging or competitive environment. So how do you manage to maintain your work-life balance or make sure you don't burn out? And stay in touch with the women, you know, the people that mean they're important to you.
I mean, it is a challenge. And I think that's one of the things, again, of working for yourself. Sometimes it's really hard to switch off. And, you know, there's always something more you want to do or feel like you need to do or be responsive to. So I don't always feel like I get that right. But I do feel like, A, I do work that I love. So that's part of it. I do feel like part, and you know, I've gotten opportunities off of Facebook and from the social media. So I do think that I continue to try to attend things that culturally are quite interesting to me.
Right.
I'm a big tennis fan and play tennis and work out. So that's something. Yeah, just, you know, I think you try to. We do say if it's not in the diary, it doesn't exist, right? So you do try to make sure that if things are important, you actually put time in to your calendar and set that time aside. So whether it's, Saturday weekends, playing a bit of tennis or going to the gym or something like that.
Yeah.
If it's, as I look towards the week or the month, you know, there's some things that are happening that I want to attend. I try to book them in, pay for them. And that way you know that you're going to attend. And I think I'm pretty good about calling family and friends and trying to keep the relationships going, but it's a challenge. I think it's on the relationship side that's an area where for me it's been challenging, but making the time, I think if it is a priority, if it is something that's important, you have to allocate the time for it. Otherwise, like everything else, it's just it's tough.
And what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
I think I'm very resilient and I think I'm really smart, actually. So
Yay.
And yeah, I'm passionate, I'm smart, and I'm resilient. I think that would be
lovely. Lovely. If you could choose your own mentor, Ugo, who would it be and why?
I love Oprah.
a lot of us do.
Yeah, I just love that she just epitomizes, you know, her truth. I think she's not afraid to tell or talk about what she's gone through, and if you actually listen to what that journey has been.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as a woman of color, you know, she's got her, like, yeah, she's got like her black girl magic, which is really great. And I think that that's, and she embraces that. And I think, you know, people of all color gravitate towards her, regardless. And she still embraces who she is. And I think that's really powerful.
Beautiful. And what would you say your imperfections, and how do you embrace them, Ugo? I love this question.
Yeah, I think I can be, you know, the criticism can be that you can be perhaps overbearing. I think I'm a good listener. So in ways, I definitely have opinions about things. And I think, you know, in work situations, like that's what you're paid to do, to have opinions and to, and that's okay. I think, yeah, I just have to be ready to recognize when someone perhaps hasn't received it. You know, we all have, you know, the DISC profiles. You have different profiles, right? Personality profiles. And I think sometimes recognizing that I might be dealing with somebody who's, you know, not a high D like me, and you have to, you know, tone it down and be more social and chatty. And you know, I like to be, you know, cut to the chase. What's the point? You know, what's the bottom line? And some people, you know, want to spend, you know, 15 minutes talking about the weather and, you know, what they're up to and everything else. And so I think you have to adapt that sometimes and recognize that you are dealing with different personalities. And what is you being, I'm just being honest. I'm just, you know, I'm just telling it like it is. For someone else could be like, oh my God, she's so, like, you know, aggressive.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Just have to ease them in. So what's your definition of success, Ugo?
I'm very passionate to have, to be the premier, you know, real estate consultant, property consultant in London, and be the go-to girl for that, and having a business that is multi-tiered and employs others and really is successful in that regard. I'd like to have a family of my own and have that as well. That's very important to me. And off the back of that, take care of, you know, causes that I believe in. And so that's for me. You know, and I do, when I pray, I said, you know, God, you know, my success is not just for me. It's going to be for others. It's going to carry others. It's going to support others. You know, as I said, my family's from Nigeria, so you clearly see need and even at home. And so that for me is success, is again, being able to help others through what you've achieved.
And lastly, what does it mean to be your own hero?
I think being your own hero is you're someone of integrity and someone that you're just proud of the life you're living, and that more often than not, people would be very happy to have known you and felt that you've been a positive influence to them as opposed to a negative, and having something to leaving people, yeah, feeling good about you as opposed to bad.
Excellent. Well, that was my last question, Ugo. So thank you so much for your time today. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or connect with you, how can they do that?
Well, I'd be very happy if you would follow me on Instagram or as Onyx London Life on Instagram. Also, our website is www.onyxpropertyconsultants.com. I'm on Facebook as Ugo Arenze. yeah, LinkedIn as well. So please connect up, and I'm always happy to chat and help. And certainly if anybody has people in London that are looking to buy or sell property, we'd love for you to give us the opportunity to help them.
Excellent. And I'll put all the links in the show notes as well. So all that remains to be said, Ugo, is thank you so much for your time this afternoon. It's been delightful. Thank you. It's been very illuminating.
Thank you for doing and giving us the forum to talk and share our stories.
No, you're welcome. Thank you very much. I want to share the stories. I think we need to do more of it, most definitely.
Great.
Excellent.
So that was great conversation with Ugo, and I got a couple of key takeaway points from there. The couple of things I took were understanding what your USP was, your unique selling point, what makes you you. And when you've identified those, how can you actually use the skills around those to move into maybe different arenas, different careers? How can you utilize those transferring skills? And the other thing I took away from there was how she rebounded from the setback when the deal she was working on fell through. And the advice she was given about really, for me, was picking her battles. So, you know, don't fight for this one. Actually know what the end goal and have that in mind. It's almost like lose the battle to win the war. So I thought there were a couple of really, really good points there that we could take away. So that was this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. I do hope you enjoyed that interview. As ever, you know, I always ask you to subscribe, leave your comments on iTunes. So that's how I get to spread the word about the podcast. Give me your comments, send me through your views, subscribe, share, you know, do everything you need to do. And if you need any support or help with any aspect of career or life, you know where I am. So until next time, enjoy.